Welcome, folks, to the welcome to February. This is came a little fast. January was shorter than I thought it ought to be, but we're here. Welcome to our meeting today. This is a Hyperledger call, and so the antitrust policy and the code of conduct are in effect. Links are available in the agenda, and please reach out if you have any questions. The link to the agenda I will place again in the chat. You are free to make any adjustments that are useful to the group in there. Is there anyone new that would like to introduce themselves? We're glad you're all here. Are there any announcements that should be on our list? Awesome. Are there any of our projects that want to share a release status or a work update?
Sam, this is Warren. I participated in the Bifold call yesterday, and there was a great demo of the latest OCA layout stuff, functional, including the ability to support the previous layout as well. So that was interesting to see.
Cool. It was a good demo, and it's nice when the stuff that we work on becomes actually visible, right? Some of it's behind the scenes, and so seeing it in that manner, I think it's always pretty encouraging. It was very cool. Any other updates? Okay, so we have not necessarily unique discussion topics for today. OCA was the subject of that particular demo, but I think we perhaps may not have unique updates there. Stephen Kern has been driving that conversation in this call, and he's on vacation this week, and so that's likely to not be a good topic. I will also confess, I had every intention of making some progress on the legacy peer stuff to have an actual PR for an RFC to discuss. I also did not make that progress. The week got away from me between our last meeting and this one, and I was unable to get that accomplished. The short of that is that we definitely have room today if anyone would like to discuss topics. Sometimes we run out of room for discussions like that, and I apologize for the short notice that we have room, but if there's something that you would like to discuss, even if you something you want to share, or even if you have questions but no answers, today might be a good day for that. We can certainly talk to any of the other issues, but unless there's been significant progress on them, then it may not be worth spending time there. And if we don't have just the things that we want to discuss, then we can let the meeting go early. I apologize for not filling the schedule, but I try to make sure that we have at least occasionally a meeting that isn't chock full so that we have time to bring up other items that that folks want to talk about. Warren.
Sam, I would be interested in knowing whether there's been previous discussion or what people's thoughts are on having domain validation be part of or an optional part of kind of verifying an issuer or perhaps even a verifier. So I guess another anchor for public DIDs, if you will, based on the domain.
Yeah, we could definitely touch on that. Are there any other topics that folks want to bring up to just throw on the board? Warren, that is not a slide on your topic. I just wanted to see if there's any other folks had stuff before we get to that. All right, let's dive into that. And of course, anyone is I can share a little, but anyone has to share, particularly if I'm wrong or if there's stuff that I'm not covering, please do speak up. I know some, but I am sure that I don't have all the knowledge that's on in the community. The diff has a They have a well-known space bar. My keyboard's been acting up. They have a well-known DID configuration defined here as a spec that's been around for a while. It's relatively straightforward, and it involves placing a in the dot well-known, which is not an invention of this spec, but something that already exists as an IETF defined web resource, a DID configuration that links DIDs to the domain that it's actually on. And the point of this is that if you are trying to find the DID for a domain, or if someone claims to be a domain and you're trying to verify in fact that that it does line up, then this could be useful there. And so this is in the form of a credential as presented here, but there's also just the opportunity to, let's see what's going on with this one here. Oh, that's interesting. This is presented independently as a list. I think the intention might be that this is a jot. This will be true if there's a dot in the, yeah, it totally is. So this is a, so here's two different types of credentials. This is a linked data credential, and here's a jot credential that are asserting that they are related to the DID or to the domain that this is hosted upon. And so our previous conversation has referenced this as a way to do so. The only other piece of the conversation that I'm aware of was that there was a reluctance to lean too heavily into this and I don't think you intended this in your question, but using this as the only form of sort of validating or assigning trust to a DID may not be helpful, because it would then bind the mechanism for creating trust to that of having a domain name. And this is really only useful for the really common ones, right? Such that if you're trying to identify that this is in fact Microsoft, or this is in fact mylocalbank.com, or some other domain that I'm likely to recognize. If it's a domain that the user doesn't recognize, then it doesn't, of course, play the same value, since anyone could trivially declare that it's associated with the domain, and if the domain's meaningless to us, then it doesn't really increase the trust. So those are the only two pieces of the conversation that I've been aware of. And there's been kind of an explicit acknowledgement that we don't need to make something new. We should just use the diff's well-known DID configuration as the mechanism to bind that. Is that what you're looking for, Warren? And is there anything else you want to add there?
Yeah, I guess there's, yeah, so I agree that it being an optional and not a required thing is good. I've been looking a little bit at Microsoft's Entra Verified ID, and one of the things you can do when you're setting up an authority there, which is the equivalent of a public DID, is you can also do a domain binding, and the domain shows up in the mobile wallet interface as who the issuer is. And again, as you suggest, it's just another additional notion of trust, where you could go and check that domain, and is that the who I think it is, and maybe that's useful sometimes and not all the time, but I just found it to be an interesting, again, and it's optional in their configuration as well.
We had briefly discussed referring to a domain and the fact that it could be verified with DID configuration in governance files, but it's been a minute since that was a hotly discussed topic. It was not hotly discussed in the terms that someone was opposed to it, but we just had needed to figure out the syntax and stuff for that. But yes, I think that it can absolutely be something, and could be something as we approach AIP3 that we could include there if we wanted. The other efforts, and I will confess that these haven't made more progress because I haven't helped them make more progress, that I was looking for on the person side of this was kind of the same idea, but rather a sort of the concept that we could identify people in a trusted manner via verified public identifiers. So there's a couple types of these that make immediate sense. One of them is an email address. Another would be a phone number, and then the other sort of common set would be social media handles that you could prove ownership over. And if you had an authority that you trusted to check those, then those can be transferred without having to repeat the check, as you were. So if you did, I could have a verified email credential, and if you trusted the issuer of that credential as someone who has properly verified the fact that, you know, you sent me a link and I clicked on it and demonstrated access to it, that that you would have that you could just receive that email with that level of trust without having to go repeat the same mechanism yourself, which is desirable from a user experience and a speed perspective. It's just faster to receive the credential. And then that could be an element that's not exactly the same as domain binding for a DID, but does attempt to bind DIDs to, or at least relationships to, other well-known identifiers kind of in the same manner. For example, if I was able to prove ownership over a phone number, then and that was a phone number you had in your contact list, then that could be like a good user experience perspective of sort of connecting these things together. And so that's kind of the idea there. But that hasn't been pursued as much recently, mostly just for lack of attention. There's really hasn't been any opposition to it. But yes, I think that it makes sense, particularly in a circumstance where I don't think the web is going away, at least I hope it doesn't. And so having a way to sort of link between DIDs and domain names that are common, of course, in the web, I think is a hugely useful feature there. I'm actually never really heard any opposition to it. Either people think it's a great idea or they don't seem to care for their use case, but I've never heard anyone say that this is a bad idea. So that's probably not as much as you're hoping to get, Warren, but hopefully that's useful, at least in some way. Other topics that folks want to bring up, talk about? Questions? Ideas? Obviously, this meeting is not the only place to do this. We have quite a set at this point of active channels in the Hyperledger Discord server, all starting with Aries Dash that relate to various things. There's been good discussion in the DIDCOM V2 channel there about you know, how things apply and working those things out, as well as channels for the various sort of sub projects. And to make that happen. So there's a lot going on there as well. Thomas.
Yeah, hi, Sam. Could you perhaps say a few words about the state of the implementations for this? So do we already have agents that can send DIDCOM V2 messages?
So I'm probably the wrong person to thoroughly answer that. I think Lance or Rodolfo will have a lot more information there. But given that they're not here today, I will attempt. I know that there are efforts in ACAPI to process DIDCOM V2 messages, and I know that the Aries Framework JavaScript has either already merged or will soon merge a PR that relates to processing DIDCOM V2 messages as well. Those are the two frameworks that I'm most aware of. Aries Go had never actually adopted the V1 envelope. And so they, as a starting place, were closer than anyone else. So the work to do there is less than some of the other frameworks. The other thing that I'll mention is that the having written some DIDCOM V2 code processing code myself, I have found that writing DIDCOM V2 code, if you're ignoring V1 compatibility for a second, is actually easier than writing DIDCOM V1 code. The simplifications that we were able to grab on means that there's fewer details that you have to have understanding to get the basic thing working, which is cool and a good sign to me that we've made good progress in the version 2 of the spec. There are when you have concerns about supporting both, which we do, a lot of our projects do at least, then there are some additional considerations to map back and forth between them. Of course, conceptually they're quite similar, but some of the implementation details are a little bit different, and there's various decisions that I know code bases have done to accommodate that. For example, rather than having one protocol handler that handles both DIDCOM v1 and DIDCOM v2 for some protocols, they're choosing to have a separate handler that handles the protocol from a DIDCOM v2 perspective, so that they can have clear code as it works. And so that's one of the debates as implementers are approaching too about how to handle it mechanically inside. Also, with the understanding that V1 will eventually be deprecated, and then we'll be able to remove that code that supports the older protocol. And so I do know that there's active efforts, and again, I'm really not the most knowledgeable person to talk about the code state in all of the projects, but I know that efforts are very active and underway there. Sorry, Thomas, that's probably not as clear as you're hoping for.
No, it's fine, perfectly fine. At the end of this, there should be a reference implementation, right? So something to a test suite and a reference implementation. So I suppose this will come out of AcaPi, will it?
It may the there is a the of course the Aries agent test harness, which can be expanded, and I think there may already be some DIDCOM v2 based tests in there. But certainly, if they're not, those can be expanded to test DIDCOM v2 compatibility within the Aries ecosystem. There are existing implementations of DIDCOM v2. None of them have been crowned as the reference implementation, but they are quite good. And available in a variety of languages. So from the actual DIDCOM v2 place, there's a lot that's already in place. There's less though of a reference implementation of a code base that already speaks v1, but that is then adding support for v2. And so there's a little bit less there. But as far as testing, the intention is to add those tests to the Aries Agent test harness in order to test the interoperability with DIDCOM v2, and the associated versions of protocols when necessary between agents. So definitely testing there.
Yeah, great, thanks.
Good questions. Other topics that folks want to bring up. Also, welcome, Joseph, in chat. You mentioned that you are unable to talk, but welcome and glad that you're here. Warren.
Yeah, do you have any thing you'd like to share about the intersection or perhaps non-intersection of DIDCOM and the trust spanning protocol specification that's come out of the trust over IP? Like, it looks very much like they're trying to drive towards, being able to crown a single implementation that meets that spec. And I was just wondering if you had, thoughts around that stuff.
I can speak super non-authoritatively about it. Not in the sense that I can't speak about DIDCOM, but I do not hold any leadership positions in trust over IP. But I can certainly share my thoughts about it, which I think is what you're going for. The trust spanning protocol, what they did, rather than sort of start from the protocols that existed, what they did is they put together a set of requirements for what the trust spanning protocol would need to entail. And they enumerated those and published those, and now they're in the process of sort of evaluating the available technologies and seeing how well it might fit. I There are some in the group that, even in the trust ORP groups, that kind of voice an assumption that DIDCOM is the answer. I think DIDCOM might be the answer. There is certainly some debate going on there. One of the interesting pieces of feedback that I've heard is that there are folks that are arguing that DIDCOM actually has too many features to be a perfect match for the trust spanning protocol. Which is interesting. In particular, they mentioned that that it's not maybe a requirement that the trust spanning protocol encrypt all messages, and that having signed messages pass is okay in some cases. And then the other piece of debate was that the official support for the forward protocol, which enables mediators, is also perhaps a step too far in meeting the basic requirements of what they would need. So it's certainly possible for someone to create a profile of DIDCOM v2 and exclude some features from the requirement to implement, and then use that. That would be possible to have done. There's also likely going to be interesting debates about whether the trust spanning protocol ought to be encrypted by default, or even a requirement to be encrypted, or whether unencrypted forms of it would be okay. I will not hazard a guess as to what the outcome of those discussions will be. I do think that DIDCOM matches up pretty well. It was sort of funny to hear that maybe it has too many features, because we worked really hard for it to have the minimum set of features you would need in order to get stuff off the ground. And so, you know, as far as the actually sort of core designed protocols, there's only a few. And credential exchange is not, in fact, one of them. But Discover features and trust pings, and the forward protocol are all involved in sort of the necessary sort of bootstrapping features that you would, or protocols that you need to have living on top of it. And then, of course, everything else can just be defined, you know, by extra protocols that live on top of it. And they're layer three and layer four in the trust over IP stack. That would be trust tasks, and I think trust applications is what they call the fourth layer there. So I think it's a good candidate. Daniel Hardman has mentioned to me that he plans to officially propose it as inside of Trust Over IP for that, which will then ensue debate about where it is applicable and where it is not applicable. There's also some conversation that perhaps the combination of DIDCOM, but with some requirement to use some carry associated DID methods, might also be useful as the requirement for the trust spanning protocol. And again, that's wild speculation on my part about whether that will actually occur or not. I don't know whether it'll land there or not, but I do expect that whatever does land will actually not be very far from sort of the Aries vision that we've all been working towards, or with, since we have working stuff, which means that I sort of anticipate that we'll be able to adapt what we end up creating, or what we have, to decisions made there for the folks that are interested in following the spec is defined by trust over IP.
That's a great summary. Thank you. Do you have a feeling for kind of what kind of time horizon they're hoping to be able to get decisions made?
Now you're really asking. Like,
again, best guess, right?
Well, so these things always take longer than you think they ought to. And part of it is because there's just so many people involved, and it feels like the work is maybe relatively fast in the beginning, and then the end processes seem to just take absolutely forever. I think I would be shocked if they had a decision made about what, you know, air quote, the trust spanning protocol is. I would be absolutely just completely floored if it happened within 6 months. I think it's more likely to be maybe a bit of a year-long debate. It could be that that there are some sort of unofficial preliminary decisions that everyone sort of knows is going to be part of the answer anyway. And so there might be some initial development that targets things prior to official stamping. And so it might feel like the decision's made in more in advance than it is, but I think it's and I that guess is not given with any slight on trust over IP or anything, just a recognition of the complexity of making decisions with large groups of people and having debate and discussion and the and fitting those debates and discussions around the work that we already have. And so that I don't mean that in any way to be a negative comment about trust over IP. I think that if we were trying to accomplish the same goal, we wouldn't accomplish it any faster. I think the nature of the task is just that complex.
Great.
So,
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
yeah.
that.
So that's the guess that I hazarded. So maybe someone can remind me in a year, and we'll see how it shook out. Good questions, though. Any other topics, things people want to share, or thoughts, or ideas, or questions? I'm looking forward to the. We haven't had anything today about it, but I'm looking forward to the Carrie Light proposal that Rodolfo has been working on. I hear good things about it, and when they're able, I plan to have them presented here so that we can discuss potential relationship of that to AIP3. But that's not happening yet. Any other discussion topics? Or other opinions on the questions asked? Sorry, I should have asked for that earlier. All right, then I think we can call this done for the day. I appreciate you attending and the questions, and we will see you back next week with some progress on things. Thanks everyone for coming.
Thanks a lot.